Thank you for being here tonight as we continue our series on the parables of Christ. We are in Matthew chapter number 18 this evening, Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read 21 to 25. Actually, we should read the whole parable. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, not 25. And here we find the parable of the unforgiving servant. And notice Peter's question in verse 21. Then came Peter to him, to the Lord, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And here's the parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you for your help once again this evening to understand the truth of your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for helping us to understand your thoughts, Lord, your ways. Thank you by helping us, Lord, by giving us illustrations and stories, Lord, that reinforce the greatness of your truth. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would not only understand your word, but we would see what you would have us to do in the areas of life that we need help with and we need to glorify you more in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this evening, this is one of the more easier parables to understand. It's quite straightforward, and it begins with a question. Here, Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? How often should I? Now, notice Peter doesn't wait for an answer, does he? He says, seven times? Now, Peter thought he was something spiritual when he said seven times, because in the Jewish way of thinking, the tradition was if someone sinned against you once, well, you would forgive them. If they sinned against you twice, it would be more difficult for you to forgive them, but you still should forgive them. But if they sinned against you three times, then forgiveness was over. And that was the Jewish way of thinking. You can imagine that kind of thinking among the Pharisees as well. So Peter thought he was special when he said seven times. Sometimes we think we're special when we forgive someone a few times, but oftentimes you and I, we have a limit, don't we? Someone pushes our buttons too much, that's it. You know, three strikes and you're out. Sometimes we're like that as well. And I can imagine in Peter's mind, he's thinking, well, seven times, that's a lot. And then the Lord shocks him by saying, I say not unto thee, there in verse 22, until seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, the Lord's will wasn't for you and I to pull out our calculator and to work out that it's 490 times, 70 times seven. So therefore, that's how much he wants us to forgive a person, an individual. Because the Lord was making a point here, not to come to an exact number, but his God's view on forgiveness is to keep on forgiving. To keep on forgiving. And that is the lesson in this parable. And so the Lord went on to teach a parable about God's view of forgiveness. And here we have the parable of the unforgiving servant. So there in your notes, let's get straight into it. We see a great debt, first of all, don't we? A great debt. Your blank is the word debt. There in verses 23 to 24, we see there was a certain king, a lord, who took account of his servants. And one of his servants owed him how much? 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents in Matthew chapter 18. So 10,000 talents would have been equivalent to millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. In other words, the king had a servant who owed him untold millions. He couldn't afford. Obviously, there was no way he could repay the debt. It was beyond repayment. And so when the accounting was done, the Bible said the servant was to be sold, his wife was to be sold, his children was to be sold, but even that wouldn't be enough. He had absolutely nothing to pay this great debt. Now, does that sound familiar? A debt too great to pay. Does that sound like you and I? Well, let's go on. Secondly, and there in your notes, and we'll slow down towards the end of the parable. So some quick thoughts here at the beginning. A great debt forgiven. A great debt forgiven. That's the next thing we see. Verse 26, the servant falls down and worships the Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And then notice what the Bible says. He didn't get the servant to pay for the debt. He simply forgave the debt. Now, hopefully by now we can see that this Lord is none other than our Lord. Amen? He is our Lord. You and I owe a debt to the Lord that we cannot pay. That is the greatness of our sin debt. And when we understand how wretched and sinful we are, how we cannot earn our way to heaven, we need to understand how great that debt is. There is no possible way we could pay it. And yet the Lord forgave us. Notice the Lord here in this parable was moved with compassion. And again, we're reminded of the motives of our Lord, for God so loved the world. Amen. God was moved with compassion as he saw his own creation, mankind rebel against him. He was moved with compassion to provide a way of forgiveness. Not a way that you and I would pay back that debt, amen, but to be completely forgiven. Now, God is just in forgiving us, of course, because of Christ and how the Lord took upon himself our sins. He paid that debt in full. On that old rugged cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world. Does it not say in our Bibles tonight that he who knew no sin became sin for us? I swapped the order there, but you know, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the Lamb of God was slain for you, for me. He took upon himself the debt that we owed, the payment for our sins. And this is where the lesson on forgiveness begins that Christ is teaching. Because we see the great debt, and we see the great debt forgiven by the Lord. Thirdly, we see the unforgiveness of the one who was forgiven. There in your notes. The unforgiveness of the forgiven. Point number three. So here we see the same servant, the servant who was forgiven, he goes out and demands a person who owes him money the full amount right away. And notice in verse 28, this servant owed only 100 pence. Now, 100 pence is nothing compared to the 10,000 talents. Absolutely nothing. And that's easy for us to understand this lesson here. What the Lord did for us is nothing compared to the offense someone might give towards us. It's nothing compared to someone doing us wrong. When When someone does something bad to us, nasty to us, when they wrong us, it's nothing compared to what we have done to the Lord. And yet here in this parable, we see the Lord teaches that this servant took the person that owed him something and he wouldn't forgive him, and he cast him into prison till he should pay that debt. So here is the lesson for us tonight. What is God's view of unforgiveness? What is God's view when we as Christians who have been forgiven so greatly refuse to forgive others? What is God's view on that kind of attitude? Well, notice there in verse number 32, and we already read it before. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou, what's the next word? Wicked servant. Now that's your blank. Unforgiveness is wicked. What a parable. I wonder what Peter was thinking when he said seven times. He often put his foot in his own mouth. But we often aren't much different either. And thankfully he spoke up. And we could learn this in the Word of God. Because we do the same thing. We have a limit to our forgiveness meter. And here the key is that the Lord forgave. Notice what he says to this wicked servant. He says, I forgave thee all that debt. And that's the key word in the parable. I forgave thee all that debt. And the point is here that forgiven people ought to be the most forgiving. If we have been forgiven so greatly, our testimony in the world ought to be that we should be the most forgiving. Because of the greatness of Christ's forgiveness, we ought to go beyond 70 times 7 and just keep forgiving, because that's how greatly we ourselves have been forgiven. Unforgiveness is wicked. That's what the Lord said. The Lord represents our Lord. O thou wicked servant. Now that's no light issue, is it? You know, so often in our lives we become angry with someone, we cut someone off and we just let that fester and we leave it alone and we think it's not such a bad thing because, look, we're not out there murdering anyone and that's okay. But the Lord said if you hate someone in your heart, you're committing the act of murder. You know, you're killing them in your own heart. It is a hard issue, which we'll look at in a moment. But it's not a light issue. Notice the Lord was wroth. When we are not willing to forgive, that makes God angry. It makes God angry. The Lord was wroth. And we grieve the Lord. We grieve the Lord. We grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says we are to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We are to put away bitterness and anger and evil speaking. And then the letter to Ephesians goes on and says, and be ye kind to one another and tender hearted. Notice this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's a repeated teaching throughout the Bible. This is a wonderful parable that really reminds us, wow, we can't afford to let unforgiveness fester in our hearts. Can't afford to, because God says it's wicked. It angers him, because if we've been forgiven so greatly, who are we not to be willing to forgive someone seeking forgiveness? And that is God's expectation. Unforgiveness also leads to personal torment. Now, when we read the word torment, naturally we think of hellfire. We think of the anguish, and the Lord, we do know, refers to torment. He does mention the word torment and anguish when it comes to hellfire. And I do believe that if we would take an application such as if there is someone who will refuse to forgive continuously and there's no possible way that they will forgive someone, I believe that indicates the fact that they've never experienced God's forgiveness. They've never received His forgiveness, therefore they have no reason to forgive. They have no basis. And therefore, that soul who's not saved will go to eternal place of torment. But remember, the application here is for Peter. is for that one who has already been forgiven. That's the application. And the torment here, as for Christians, doesn't refer, obviously, to the lake of fire. It refers to the literal torment that we experience when we allow unforgiveness to remain in our hearts. The literal experience of being tormented by that bitterness, that anger, that those vengeful thoughts that continue to just circulate in our minds, don't they? They can lead to depression. They can lead to violence. The tree isn't pretty. The Bible says that bitterness defiles others as well. It spreads to others. And you see, the torment that we experience is a personal torment. If we're not willing to forgive in our homes, between husbands and wives, for example, or parents and children, we're in big trouble. That's how homes fall apart. That's how the devil gets in. If we're not willing to forgive in our church with one another, we're in big trouble. That's how churches split in two. Literally, hell breaks loose in a church where there's unforgiveness. Because as Christians, when we're not willing to forgive, we've lost sight. We're that far from the Lord in our hearts. We've lost sight of how greatly we have been forgiven. We obviously haven't been spending much time in His Word, in humility and saying, Lord, search my heart. Show me if there be any wicked thing in me. Obviously, we're not doing that. If we've got unforgiveness in our heart, we're far from the Lord, and there could very well be a wedge there that's been sitting there for a long, long time, and it gets worse over time. It will lead to torment in our lives if we're not walking with the Lord, if we're not right with God. Well, the Bible says He will not hear our prayers because of unforgiveness. Also, physical problems result as a result. Brother Andy was telling a praise point on Sunday night as he was driving. Suddenly a car swerved in front of him and he slammed on the brakes, and the Lord has put something into us which is wonderful. It's called adrenaline. Helps us to react in an instantaneous moment to protect us from danger. And I'm sure you testify, brother. There was some of that rushing through at that very moment, and thanking the Lord for it. And adrenaline, as I've heard a good Christian counselor say before, he said adrenaline is a wonderful blessing in a moment of danger, but it's a very dangerous way to live. You know, when you and I are allowing those angry, bitter thoughts to run through our mind, you and I start to, our autonomic nervous system starts to go into overdrive. Have you noticed your heart starts to pump? Especially when you're worried about talking to that person or seeing them in church or seeing them at work or seeing them down the road, and your heart starts to pump, you start to sweat, you start to get nervous. My friends, that's a dangerous way to live. And that will impact your health physically. You see, the torment that comes is serious. And that is another judgment that comes upon us if we're not willing to forgive. It's a hard issue. Notice what the Lord said lastly. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So it is a heart issue. And we do this all the time, don't we? We say to someone, I forgive you. Of course, if we're Christians, we need to say that. We would hardly ever say, look, I'm not going to forgive you. No way. There may be sometimes we have said that, but most of the time we'll say, look, okay, I forgive you. But most of the time, we don't mean it. We don't mean it from our hearts. We're just saying that, and we're waiting to see what will happen. Will they do something wrong to us again? I'm not going to forgive them from my heart because I am worried they might do the same thing again. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord expected this servant to forgive that one just as He forgave His servant. God expects us to forgive one who's seeking forgiveness. God expects us to forgive them just like God forgives us. When God forgave you and I for our sins, He cast our sins behind His back. Amen. As far as the east is from the west. And God chooses, now he cannot forget, God can't forget, but he chooses not to remember our sins against us. He chooses not to remember our sins against us, and that's what we need to do from our hearts. And by the way, not for any reason, but because of how greatly we have been forgiven. Now, I know that not everyone will come and say sorry. The parable obviously tells us about ones that sought forgiveness. And we also need to deal with that too. And we need to bring it to the Lord and we say, Lord, help me to forgive them in my heart, though that situation is not reconciled. Lord, help me not to allow bitterness to stay there. Lord, help me to forgive them in my heart. The relationship is not restored. We understand that, but because of what Christ did for us, and because he loved the world before any of us ever repented, he gave himself as the payment for sin before any of us came to Christ for salvation. We need to be willing in our hearts to have that heart attitude of forgiveness, because we must, or else it will lead to our own personal destruction. The Lord said it is wicked not to forgive. And imagine if the father of the prodigal son slammed the door and he said, I don't ever want to see you again. You can go and die in that pig pen for all I care. Imagine if he said that. Thankfully, the parable was not that way. Amen. We'll look at that one in time to come. But that's sometimes how we treat people. I'd rather never see them again. I don't even want them near me. You know, I'm not willing to forgive them. They've gone too far now. And the Lord says, no, that is wicked. That's not of the Lord, that attitude of unforgiveness. That's our old nature, isn't it? Let's be honest. That's our old sinful nature. That is wicked. And how do we hold back that sinful nature? How do we deal with it? Well, we simply remember Calvary. Amen. That's how we deal with unforgiveness. We remember Calvary. We think of the debt that we owed that we could not pay, and how God showed compassion on us, and that is enough for you and I to forgive. Amen. It's never easy. And different situations, it's more difficult, but we have the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and we can exercise Spirit-filled forgiveness. And let me encourage you, church family, ask the Lord to search your heart. Is there someone, is there something that's there that needs to be dealt with, needs to be brought to the Lord? Because we can hardly go on in our Christian lives if we're not willing to forgive. You know, I think of a person even now, and the hurt that person caused me, and the absolute unworthiness of that person to be forgiven. None at all. Wow. And I still tell you what, I still got a flesh. And I need to come back to that place of forgiveness. That relationship is not reconciled at all. But I need to come back to that place of forgiveness and I say, Lord, I'm willing to forgive. I'm not harboring anger. And pray for that person's salvation. And just be careful of going to the tormentors. Some people are at the tormentors right now. They're in their homes, depressed and angry and bitter. And they've lost their family, they've lost their friends. And that's exactly what the Lord said will happen if we allow unforgiveness into our hearts. So take courage. We can forgive because we've been forgiven. And let's show this world a love that they won't see anywhere else through our lives.